I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of Luke, from the second chapter, verses 18 to 20, where we read these words. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as the Lord had been told. I want you to think for a moment about the events of the last decade. Wonder what comes to your mind. The iPad, it came out in 2010. It almost broke the internet. Radio stations, newspapers pick up the event that this new device was coming out onto the market. April 2011. I don't think there wasn't a single newspaper that picked up the story on April 29, 2011, when William and Kate got married. Go to 2012. It was expected that the world was going to come to an end. 2016, Pokemon Go was the latest craze, and people were running through the streets. People were going into malls and stores because there was their favorite Pokemon character there, and they needed to make sure they got it, and it took the world by storm. August 2017, we had a total solar eclipse. If I didn't Google it, I probably wouldn't have remembered any of them. How many of them did you remember? You're pretty good. But what about the greatest event of all time? Here you have it. It had been prophesied for centuries. God coming in human flesh and dwelling among us, the Savior of the world, the Messiah who had been long awaited. There was no fanfare. There were some angels. But CNN was not there. BBC was not there. The Toronto Star was not there. The Global Mail was not there. You would have expected that it would have been lined with the Bethlehem news. All waiting to tell the story because they knew it was coming. Everything that had happened was just as the prophets had told. And yet nobody was paying attention. Nobody was even aware that this was going to happen. Nobody, except for some ragtag shepherds. They smelled like sheep. They didn't have refined social skills. They were the outcasts. They couldn't bring the greatest gifts. In fact, maybe they're a lot like you and I. You ever wonder how many there were? Did they all go to Bethlehem? Because it says shepherds. That means it's plural. There's more than one. Were they awake? Were they half asleep? Were they sitting around the campfire, anticipating what was going to happen in the next day? It's likely that they were on a hillside just outside of Bethlehem. It wasn't a large city by any chance, and it's hard for us to appreciate, because at least here in York Region, if you look up to the sky, you will not see the stars that are all there. You may see a few. But there in the darkness on a hillside just outside of Bethlehem, the stars would have been spectacular. It would have been nothing out of the ordinary for them to look to the heavens, and the stars are there. But nothing was going to match the heavens being filled with angels singing and praising God, and they would have been filled with fear. But picture it in that moment. There they are, they're in the field. Everything is calm and everything is peaceful. It's the way the world is supposed to be. Isn't that often the moment in our story where God shows up? It can be scary and unsettling. It can be peaceful and contemplative. Maybe it's that moment where you can't sleep and God is awaking you and awaking you and awaking you in the stillness of the night because he has a word for you. Maybe it's that moment where we were in a hospital and we were restless and there's no one there at night and the only thing you hear is the sound of beeps of devices. But God speaks. But it's also in those moments where you're sitting at the end of a dock on a warm summer night and you're sitting up there having a coffee, looking up at the stars, and all is well. It was their job to watch over the sheep. How many there were, we don't know. But Luke tells us that there on the city of a hill, they were watching over their sheep by night. And God has a message for them. For unto you is born this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. But do not be afraid. How many of us would have been unsettled and startled like the shepherds? Do not be afraid. For a Savior, he is coming, and he is Christ the Lord. Do you hear those words in tension to what was going on in the culture? Everybody knew Caesar was Lord. Caesar was the one to be worshipped. And now this baby comes into the Lord and is claiming the lordship of not only the local kingdom, but the world for himself. Unlike Caesar, he wouldn't live in a palace, but he would live in a stable. His parents weren't of nobility, but they were peasants. He had no formal education, and yet they would call him a teacher. He had no medical degree, and they would call him a healer. He never once raised the sword, and yet he changed it and he conquered the world. And he brought peace. But don't be afraid. Nearly 100 times in this context, we find those words, do not be afraid. Ultimately, 365 times in Scripture. One for each day of the year. We've heard those words this season, haven't we? Remember Zechariah and Elizabeth? Do not be afraid. Even you, in your old age, you are going to have a child. We look to Mary. Do not be afraid, for you have found favor with God. We look to Joseph. Fear not to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Fear not. Those are words for you and I this Christmas season because we have moments of fear. It may be a financial fear. It may be a fear relating to our health. We may have some real enemies who are personally attacking us. We have fears of things that are going on in our family. Maybe the fear is related to our walk with God. But in every case, every part of the story of our lives, God, in the power of His grace, is able to calm our fears. How? Through the experiences of life, through His word, through prayer. But we get distracted. Unlike those shepherds on the hillside who are so focused on the words of the angel that we're going to hear it in a minute, is that they left and they immediately went. We get busy. We get busy with life. The fears in our story begin to distract us from hearing the story of God. We get so caught up in the stress that we miss what God might be saying to us. And it's in the stillness of life that God invites us to come to the manger, to make time, to settle aside and to pray, to read His word, but more importantly than that, is to rest at the manger so that you and I can hear God's story at work in our lives. Now, how do you do that? What can you practically do this week? I want to give you two things I want to challenge you with. Is this. At dinner over this Christmas season, maybe at multiple dinners, ask these two questions. Where did I see God today? Or what is God teaching me today? Because when we begin to do that, we begin to rest in God's story. We begin to hear what God might be trying to say to us. I digress for a minute. The shepherds were on the hillside. The angels come down and say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. You will find Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, and you will find Him lying in a manger." It wasn't any normal, ordinary day. But you notice how God arranged it? God arranged the preparatory way of John the Baptist to come. He prepared a young teenage girl to say, "May it be to me as you have said." He arranged the story of Joseph to be faithful and taking up the call to help father in a practical way the Son of God. And everything happened just as the prophets had foretold. And immediately, without hesitation, upon hearing the words of the angels, that the shepherds left their sheep. They would have lost their livelihood. They would have lost their pay if anything had happened to those shepherds. How many have left, we don't know. But we know some of the shepherds who heard responded, and they made their way to Bethlehem, to the manger, to see Jesus. Have you ever really thought about that? They were outcasts. They weren't welcome in Israel. We've already heard in their children's time, they were considered to have illegitimate testimony in the court of law. If people came to them, they often would sell them milk and wool, and sometimes a sheep here and there, and they were considered to be criminals. They never really stood out. And they were filled with fear. Why? Because they understood who they were. They understood something about a good and a gracious and a loving God. And often when God speaks like He does in our text with Zechariah and Elizabeth, with Mary, with Joseph, and even here, God is trying to get our attention when He says, "Do not be afraid." Because God is always calling us into some kind of direction. And in that "do not be afraid," God is trying to move you somewhere. The question is, will we hear? Will we listen to what God is trying to say? But I want you to catch something alongside of that. Why does he use shepherds? Why does he not use the elite? Why does he not use the powerful? I believe it's because God is trying to remind us that God's grace is available for everyone. That God's grace is open to all. And that as he comes into the world and he gives and he's born and he lives and he dies and he ascends into heaven and he pours out his spirit, it reminds us of the calling that God is calling us to as the church, to tell the story of grace, of hope, and of peace, and where we can find rest for our souls. The answer is will we come to the manger? In an article that I read, Groschette writes, maybe God is calling you this morning to move away from something you know is wrong. Maybe God is calling you to mend a relationship this Christmas. Maybe he's calling you to help somebody in need, and if that's the case, you already know who that person is. Maybe God is calling you to stop living in the past, to stop reliving past hurts, to not stop making excuses for why you do today, and to start over. Maybe he's urging you to ask for help from somebody else. Maybe he's calling you to some bold kind of action. Maybe he's calling you to go and tell someone about the one who came in our place. And the answer that the shepherds give to the story of the Messiah being born is the most appropriate one. Is that they left and they went, glorifying and praising God and telling everyone who would listen. So as you come to the manger this Christmas season, the challenge is, will you leave with the shepherds, with the excitement that the Messiah has come into the world, and glorify and praise God, and to tell the story that Emmanuel, God with you, is here. Amen. We're going to rest in that part of the story this morning as we come to prayer. And as we do, we want to remember Jake and his family. In the last week and a bit, Jake's family experienced the loss of not only his sister-in-law, but his nephew. So we want to remember Jake and your family, but many of us who are experiencing loss at this time of the year as well. Would you pray with me? As you came, O God, to the shepherds, you come into our story, and Lord, we need to hear that this morning, that we don't need to be afraid, because not only are you with us, but as we stop and to pause, that you speak. May we rest in that assurance. May we rest in that comfort this morning. As we come into the busyness of this Christmas week, O Lord, where many of us will be traveling here and there and everywhere, finishing up details, cooking meals, baking cookies, setting up and taking down our house for different festivals and activities. May we take time to rest in the story. May we take time to rest in the story that you came into the world not only for the shepherds, but you came into the world for us. As we enter into this Christmas season, Lord, we realize that there are those who walk in the season and Christmas is hard. Family's not what we want it to be. There may be an empty seat at our Christmas dinner. Some family members may stay away. And Lord, we pray that in the midst of those stories, you would bring healing and peace and calmness, knowing that your spirit is still alive, Lord, in our story. Lord, we think of Jake and his family, Lord, and the loss of a sister-in-law and a nephew. At times, it just doesn't make sense. And yet, Lord, it's even harder at this time of the year Everybody is celebrating and singing and happy. We pray not only for Jake and his family, Lord, but for many, even here this morning, that are experiencing the real depth of that loss. We pray that you would bring comfort. We pray that you would bring peace. We pray that you would bring assurance. We pray that you would speak into our story, that we would be able to rest in the story of the manger. And Lord, we thank you that we have a story to tell. We thank you for the gifts that are in this building, that are being used in a variety of ways for readings, for leading us in worship, for setting up things for coffee, for baking cookies and organizing the activities that we'll celebrate in a little bit. For those that served in the food bank and the clothing closet and the ministries of this church, that, Lord, in very tangible ways are telling the story of Emmanuel, God with us. And so, Lord, in this time this morning, we just pray that our souls would be refreshed and that we would leave this place glorifying and praising you. For we know Emmanuel, God with us. Invade our story with grace, that we may be able to rest, truly rest, and to hear what you might be saying to us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.